This is the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes, and you are listening to the
Bulletcast. For life.
Yo, what's going on, ladies and gentlemen? It is I, your mother's favorite podcaster, aka the Microphone Messiah. I am joined by Brandon Tanguma, and oh my god, for the first time in this year, Katie's back on the Bulletcast.
Hey.
Wow, it only took you, what, 4.5 months, but here you are.
Listen, it's been a very interesting 2024. I got a brand new job that has been taking up a lot of my time, and it's very fulfilling for me, so yay. But also, I've started ring announcing with West Coast Pro.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't happen on the days we record podcasts, though.
No, but my work schedule has changed, so I don't normally get to be on the podcast.
It's like those old school Raw after WrestleManias. You know, usually we get like one big surprise debut or return. And look, we got Katie back. Raw after the Bulletcast after WrestleMania.
Oh, right.
Absolutely. I am very excited.
Yes. All right. WrestleMania weekend happened. I told you I'd allude to a lot of the things I did. I'm going to just sum it up. I did a lot of cool shit. Boom. There you go. That's it.
Moving on. Outside of the ring.
Shut up, jabroni.
Hey, you know, I need to ask a question.
There we go. Yeah, I mean, you're muted. I can't hear you. What'd you say?
Philip, I would love to hear about your experience at WrestleMania.
Who's the last ever Bulletcast championship? But I'd like to know, because I feel like I did very well. I think I got. Like,
oh, it's me.
Right.
It's me. Always is. Always will be. Right. Somebody within the bloodline had to retain some gold. WrestleMania weekend. All right. Okay. Somebody within this family.
At least somebody won.
All right. See, don't do that. I'll make a call right now. You take your pick. I'll have one of them show up at your doorstep right now.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I'm sorry.
You'll still acknowledge him. How dare you? Now, what'd you say?
I would love to hear about your weekend.
Yes, Philip. Tell us what happened. Much better than last year?
I mean, I don't know. Last year, man, I got inducted into the family. I don't know if anything will ever top that, man. You know, real honorary Oops over here. Hello. But nah, man, it was cool. It was cool. Did a lot of cool shit, man. I mean, ECW Arena was cool. I got to watch the Dudleys versus Tommy Dreamer and Onita. Like, what? That's Onita's a legend in this game. He doesn't wrestle in the U.S. often. He's probably wrestled in the U.S. maybe 10 or less times. So that was dope. Yeah, man, you just never know who you're going to run into, bro. I got to Puff Puff Pass with Rob Van Dam. That was dope.
That's cool.
Did that with Enzo Amore also. Bada boom. He really is the realest guy in the room. He's a chill dude, man. Got to meet Uncle Samu, Lance and Y's dad. Shout out Unc. You know, got to chop it up with him for a little bit. Main event of night one. I'm sitting in the back of GCW's clusterfuck, Joey Janela Spring Break. I'm watching the main event with Nick Gage and Tommy Dreamer. That was dope. And I saw a lot of people I know from out here. I saw Mike Miller, saw Righteous Reg. I saw Hobbs. Who else? You know, just a lot of people that you know you see around the R scene out here. Saw a guy that goes to like a lot of West Coast and Oasis shows. Like, oh, what's up, brother? No, it's just cool. Saw Pollo. That was funny. She was like, "Is that you?" I'm like, "Of course it's me. Who else would it be?" That was funny. So it was cool, man. You know, just to kind of be backstage like, you know, a Shane Douglas and an Aja Kong, and you know, that was cool. Gotta chop it up with Uncle Reno, you know, the Jacob and Journey's Uncle Reno. He was out there, you know, because Kishi had a signing at WrestleCon, so gotta chop it up with him. Was hanging out with people like J-Rod and stuff and everybody. It was cool, man. It was a cool little weekend, man. I didn't really take a lot of photos and pictures, just kind of wanted to be present in the moment. But yeah, man, I mean, that was dope. And then, you know, obviously WrestleMania, the spectacle, you know, the granddaddy of them all that other stuff that they say. And as I'm sitting there and I'm just looking around, I'm like, this is cool, but imagine to perform in front of all these people. That's kind of where my mind was, you know. And then, you know, things happened that I don't want to talk about anymore, but yeah.
It is a high the likes of which you've never felt.
No, man, WrestleMania weekend, bro, like you get addicted. Once it's over, you're kind of bummed out, like, oh, all right. Well, we got to wait till next year now, you know? And, you know, you see people you only get to see, like, once a year over there, you know, and stuff. And, you know, shout out Wale Mania, finally made it over to that. That's cool. You know, you see different people. Saw Bobby Lashley up close. I was like, God damn, it's a big man.
Oh, he's tall.
Yeah, it was brief, but I saw him, Killer Kelly from Impact. I was like, okay, you know, saw like guys like Morrison and Taya Valkyrie and things like that. But yeah, it's dope, man. I saw a lot of other wrestling journalists and things like that. But yeah, no, it's cool, man. It's dope. Shout out WrestleMania weekend. Excuse me, the Philadelphia almost killed me this weekend. Well, no, it's cool stuff, man. You know, hopefully you guys get to go to next year and experience that. It's so much fun.
I would love to, but we still don't even know where the hell it's at.
Bro, just pull up. Who cares? You should have went to LA. LA was great.
I mean, there's a difference between Las Vegas and Minneapolis.
Oh no, there's a big difference. I pray to God it's in Las Vegas.
I mean, Minneapolis, it's like it's
in Las Vegas.
It's basically Canada over there. Ugh. I mean, I know my boy Wade Keller lives there, but
I mean,
you know, it's basically the United States of Canada up there. I don't know if I can handle.
It's okay, man. You know, let's go to Vegas. I can drive there. That's fine. Moving on from all that, outside the ring, John Cena, Pat McAfee show, day after WrestleMania. You know, he talks about how, you know, he has some things to film that's going to take him into the December, but hopefully he can come back for one last run. Just do we need to see another world title run out of John Cena before it's over? Now, like, the last one he had was 2 weeks. Like, I'm talking about, can we get a six-month title run? And when he loses it, he's done. Can we get one of those?
I mean, right now, Cody has the WWE Championship, so I don't know if you want to interrupt that.
Well, I mean, what did Cena say? His film is going to take him into December, so that's a long time away.
You could do a Ric Flair thing Cena loses until he retires until he loses.
Yeah, that's what I said.
If that's how the story progresses, then I don't see why not.
Let's do it. Let's get something like that done. Aki Bono dies at 54, WrestleMania legend. What was it, WrestleMania 21? WrestleMania in Hollywood, right?
Yeah, T's and P's. Not only, you know, everyone probably mainstream-wise would know him from WrestleMania, but he did do a lot of, legendary sumo wrestler, but then he also did some wrestling over in Japan for All Japan, and fortunately, you know, died 54 of a heart attack. Just basically happened, I think, like a few hours ago. At least the news came out a couple hours ago, so T's and P's.
Yes, T's and P's, Aki Bono. Forbidden Door no longer at Arthur Ashe Stadium is what New Japan does not want to share the costs.
Yeah, I mean, you know, AEW's been kind of stacking up L's recently, and we'll talk about another one later when we talk about Dynamite.
Oh, yeah, that.
But, not a great look. I mean, Arthur Ashe has kind of been, like, its central hub. AEW's, like, hub for, like, a big show, whether it's been Dynamite recently. Now they were trying to do Arthur Ashe, and now they're not doing it there. You know, selfishly, maybe bring it over to California, make it easier for the New Japan talent to come over, maybe
at the Forum.
Yeah, now they have Mexican talent, CMLL and AAA, which opens up another can of worms because those two talents can't work together. So, I know New York's expensive, but you think they would have hammered that out before announcing it? I don't know. They haven't technically announced it, but it's kind of like an open secret right now.
Yeah, I'm not doing it at the Forum. You know, we have buildings here in the Bay. You know, where do you think would be a nice spot for them?
Bring it to the Oakland Arena. Oakland needs something these days.
I mean, they got some concerts coming up, right?
I mean,
don't they? Let's go on the old Ticketmaster. What's going on?
I know Missy Elliott's going to be here in June or July.
Okay, you see, that's it. That's
nice. I like that.
Oakland Arena. Let's see.
I have noticed a lot of like the, you know, maybe like older R&B acts or like some like Indian or like Mexican bands will perform at the Oakland Arena.
You see?
Yeah. That's what I'm seeing.
Don't you love that? Oakland Arena. Okay, let's see what we got. Charlie. Oh, he canceled it. Never mind. I'm sorry.
He's like, I ain't coming to Oakland.
I mean, let's see who. Oh boy, this is okay. 85 South. So DC Young Fly will be here in June. Okay, there you go. That's something. All right, Chico Bean. You know, Missy Elliott, July 9th. Like you just said. Okay. What Chris Brown, July. Come on. Sea Breezy. Okay, they got the Monster Jam going on. Let's see what else they got going on here. They have a lot of stuff. Usher in September. Huh?
Usher is doing the Oakland Arena. I mean, I thought he'd be a Chase. I'd be a Chase Center person, but
Maxwell? Usher and Maxwell? Back to back months? Guys, this Oracle's doing just fine.
21 Pilots?
Well, it's not Oracle anymore. That'd be the San Francisco Giants baseball stadium.
21 Pilots.
The Ringling Bros will be there August 30th through September 1st.
That's the whole thing. They're not canceled yet.
Where do you see 21 Pilots? Where's this at? Oh, okay. I see them.
August 24th.
Okay. Yeah. That's my. Just out of curiosity, let's see what's going on.
Hans Zimmer Live. That's something I would like.
What is that?
I'm a nerd. Hans Zimmer is a composer who has done Oscar-winning music for and original scores for movies, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Damn.
So forth. I'm a nerd.
So I'm looking at, you know, Oakland. I'm looking at Chase. They got Jennifer Lopez, Blink-182, Janelle Aiko, Kid Cudi.
A little different level of acts over in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Which AEW did a decent little house for Revolution, but once again, it's expensive to run there compared to the Oakland Arena or what other, you know, college level. Or, you know.
Just go to San Jose. Just go to the SAP Center, bro. I mean, that's easy enough for everybody, right? Right. You know? No, is it not?
Unless you get there late, and then it's a hassle trying to park there because, you know, public transit and everything. It's an American issue.
It's the whole thing. Rollins taking time off. We've been kind of been aware of that, you know, given his injuries and whatnot. Damian Priest resigned. What?
Resigns. You know, resign. Oh, resign and resign for some reason are two completely different words that are spelled the exact same way. But coming off of the Money in the Bank contract cash in, which apparently allegedly has been in the works for a long time, so this wasn't like a last minute thing like the original WrestleMania cash in. But
if we know everything, so how come we didn't know about this 6 months ago when allegedly that was the plan?
Because you keep things under wraps.
But then in the other company,
we know everything
word for word that happened as soon as it happens. So where's the?
Well, you know, some companies are run differently.
I mean, where's the, Jesus Christ, where's the morale? Where's the leadership?
Speaking of not knowing, apparently, Drew, once again, takes this with a grain of salt. People are saying Drew McIntyre still hasn't signed a contract. I'm not going to read too much into that. I think he will resign and probably should resign with WWE. Like, people are kind of speculating with the CM Punk stuff. He can run it back and do what CM Punk did, but even better. Win the title.
Nobody wins a world championship at WrestleMania if they haven't re-signed with the company. Stop.
I mean, he didn't walk out champion.
Okay, still, but stop. Let's.
It's only the world title. Come on.
I mean, stop. Don't do that. You know, the lineage, it goes back.
Well, I thought the thing was it doesn't have that lineage. I thought it's like a new belt.
See, it doesn't. It's a thing. It's a whole thing. If you want to sit down and do that, we can do a So What Do You Want to Talk About?
It's like the New Japan IWGP Heavyweight Championship that like technically isn't a part of the old.
Well, we don't even need to talk about that because that's a whole mess in and of itself. What else has happened here? Fan mail. We did have fan mail last week that I didn't get to read from Mr. X.
What are you, me on under the radar?
No, you. One person wrote in and they never wrote back. People continuously write in here. That's the business.
Well, I mean, under the radar has turned into like the AEW pay-per-view recap show because nobody wants to talk about it except for me. So get ready for Dynasty in 2 weeks. Yeah. Under the radar, coming back.
How long until the Melanin Mafia take over the world? It's already been taken over. I mean, it's inevitable. God damn it. Stop playing with me. Stop
you playing Thanos? With
us. Yeah, but there's no end game here. It's forever. It's always
it's infinite.
It's infinite, exactly.
Like a war, like an always last war.
Talks about CM Punk in the interview and with Ariel Helwani and the this we can really talk about once we get to the AEW of it all. And then, will we see any surprises this weekend at WrestleMania 40? We saw some.
I think Bubba Ray Dudley is going to be the special guest referee for the street fight. And Snoop Dogg's going to do commentary.
It was so good. Like, that was better than what I expected it to be.
We didn't really get anything. I did like how they didn't. There's no fluff at the WrestleMania outside of the Triple H Stephanie stuff at the beginning. It was just match. No Ron Simmons damn spot or any musical performances.
I liked it a lot.
I mean, did you not see Lil Wayne do a musical performance?
Well, I mean, I love Wavy, but he said like two lines of a milli and then just awkwardly walked down with Jay.
I'm a young money millionaire. See, I told you, he was never that great to begin with. It all comes back around to that one podcast we did years ago. Now you see, I have foresight in these things. I'm an oracle. Not like the arena over in Oakland.
Well, it's not Oracle anymore, once again.
No, not Oracle anymore. Sigh.
Okay, still, I'm an oracle. It's not. My being is so powerful, I took the name. I'm about to call myself the Oracle now, Jesus.
I think Sam's the Good Giants might have a thing to say about that.
Who?
Sam's the Good Giants. Not to be the New York Giants. Yeah.
The baseball team?
Yes.
How about when they win the World Series? When was the last time they did that?
They did in 2016 and 2014 and 2010, 2012, 2014. Sorry. Not a Giants fan, so I don't remember that stuff.
24, it's 10 years. I don't want to hear it. If it's not in the last two or three, I don't want to hear it. All right, moving on from that, Monday Night Raw, Cody Rhodes is welcomed as the new WWE champion by the game, Triple H. We are in a new era.
If you didn't learn from WrestleMania, new era. Phillip's overtaken with emotion because it is a new era. Unfortunately, no more Roman Reigns. It's the Cody Rhodes era. It's the Paul Levesque era.
Talk about what happened. Just talk about it.
So the opening segment was kind of split up into two parts where we get, once again, Triple H coming out, talking about how it's a new era. Cody comes out and they run a video package that just it was supposed to be this intimate thing that no one was supposed to see, just Cody. But Triple H, out of the kindness of his heart, said, you know what? I think everybody needs to see this, Katie. So once again, we're kind of patting Cody and Triple H on the back, which understandably, I get it. They're kind of towing the line of it's getting kind of a lot now. We had our moment at WrestleMania and we did this thing on Raw. Let's not keep doing this.
I think that it's totally reasonable for us to be giving them their flowers and patting them on the back.
For what? Patting them on the back for what?
Yeah.
Did you not see what happened? Did you not see the ending?
Yeah, I did.
They destroyed a family, a bloodline.
Dude, that was like epic storytelling. I was so here for it. It was
the most overbooked main event of all time.
Stone Cold didn't come out so terrible.
And that's saying.
I am here for it. And if that makes me a mark, then it makes me a mark.
Puts an asterisk on his win because look at all that had to happen for him to win. It would have been better if he had just beat him flat out.
Should have won on Saturday.
Well,
one on Saturday, Cody.
Well, he succumbed to the final boss. As you would succumb to the final boss, too.
I mean, it just goes to show how monumental Roman Reigns' title run really was. That he needed so many people to come out to his aid.
We got to thank you, Roman Chant. So we Roman did. Got his flowers.
I think I'm going to change the name of this episode to Thank You, Roman. Matter of fact, just talk about Roman Reigns for the rest of this podcast.
I mean, I'm down.
My tribal chief. The Rock came out.
I have so many thoughts.
The Rock came out there and then they exchanged titles or something. The Rock says,
I'll show you me yours if you show me mine something. Yeah.
That's not.
I'll let you hold mine if you let me hold yours.
Yeah, something like that. Rock says, Roman. Or
a lot of memes coming from that.
Okay. Stop. So I can analysis all stuff. Oh, Jesus. God, you got me talking. It hurts. God damn it. They swap titles. Rock says, your story with Roman is over, but yours with mine has just begun. It's not finished. He hands him something, then he leaves. People are saying it's the keys to Cody's bus that was on fire the other day. It's like, where the hell are you getting this information from?
How would he know that? He doesn't drive the bus.
I mean, it was public knowledge that Cody's bus was on fire. That's
I'm saying, but like Cody, who isn't the bus driver, how would he know how the keys feel? Like that could be any keys. He didn't take a look at the what was.
So you're telling me Cody, who owns the bus, has never held the keys to his own bus. That's what you're telling me.
Maybe.
That doesn't even make sense.
He's not in charge of driving the bus.
Okay, but that's what? That doesn't even make sense.
Just playing devil's advocate here. But he did. It was very well known that Cody knew what it was. We didn't get any follow up. You know, Kathy Kelly, whoever the other Byron Saxton could have done some investigative journalism, went to go ask Cody what it was, but we didn't get that, even though it was beginning of the show. But it's okay. We'll find out eventually.
Yeah, you'll find out eventually. All right, the Judgment Day celebration. R-Truth pops up. It's funny, very funny. Leads to Awesome Truth getting a match with the Judgment Day later on. And they have a surprise, a partner who being John Cena, the man you cannot see. Comes out there, gets the hot tag. 1, 2, 3, Awesome Truth and Cena get a big victory. Cena gets a victory on television in the year of our Lord, 2024.
Continues his streak since, I believe, 99 of wrestling a match every single year.
99.
That's when he started, I guess. That's what I saw. Something like that.
Oh, you mean I thought it was the WWE having a match in WWE every year.
Well, I mean, 2002, if we're going to be WWE-centric.
Yeah. All right. So that happened. Jey Uso was the number one contender for the World Heavyweight Championship. It's a fatal four-way. Bronson Reed, Ricochet, Uso, and the former champion McIntyre. McIntyre looks like he's closing in. By the way, hell of a spot. Springboard 450 onto the table from Ricochet to Bronson Reed. Thought that
little,
was massive.
Little short but on that.
Doesn't matter. It was cool. I liked it.
Anyway, I was thinking Mick Foley when that happens.
Signaling for the Claymore, the 3-2-1. Punk holds his foot, costs him super kick, spear, splash. Jey Uso. Uso was up. He's the number one contender for Damian Priest in the heavyweight title of the world. Yeet. Yeet. Katie, yeet.
Yeet.
What are your thoughts?
So I'm at the point where I love just about everything that CM Punk does because it's just he's all about shenanigans right now. I feel like we're setting up for Drew versus CM Punk at the next pay-per-view. I'm excited for that. I would like to see something more with Jay other than him being the number one contender. I want to see a little bit more story-wise.
But he says yeet.
But that's just me.
I think Jay is a fine opponent for Damian Priest. I mean, I think people are like thinking, oh, I mean, even Drew said it himself. He's a transitional champion. And they are going to play into that. And Jay is a perfectly fine opponent for Priest. And I think Priest will, I think he'll have a relatively long title reign for what people think. So, yeah, it's fine. People like Jay, they're going to want to see him win, but I don't think he has much of a chance.
Wow. It's messed up. Oh, Jesus Christ. Jade Cargill, talk about it.
Well, Chelsea Green was being her Chelsea Green self and complained to management about not being on WrestleMania. So she got a Raw after WrestleMania match and ended up being Jade Cargill. Green was unhappy about that, but Jade squash serve, hits her with like a couple moves, hits the Jaded, even though they don't call it Jaded yet, or I don't know. So Jade gets the win, two matches in 3 days, and you know, they haven't showcased her to do anything more than what she was doing kind of in AEW in those squash like formats. Katie, do you think, I don't know, like, do you think they should trust her and give her more, or do you think just have her do what she was doing before is perfectly fine?
I think give her more. Make her prove herself.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to be on the Jade squash streak for a little bit. I don't think we're going to wait all the way till SummerSlam till she gets something of note, but we're going to have a lot of 30-second, minute and a half matches with Jade, I feel like.
Honestly, I feel like if we do too many, it cheapens the effect of her being all powerful.
Does it?
I think so. I mean, if you just give her squash matches.
If you look at history, how did they build guys? Squash matches.
There's got to be some conflict. Like, it can't just be squash match after squash match after squash match.
Well, yeah, I mean, eventually there will be. I mean, Vladimir Kozlov, squash, 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 and eventually he wound up in the WWE title picture. You know, it's the formula. Don't change the formula. Squash, 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 then eventually move on to something that has a little bit, you know, a salt and flavor to it, and then we'll get to the real meat and bones of it later on.
I don't think me saying that I don't want to see more than like 5 or 6 squash matches is too asinine.
But it's the business. Why would you change the formula of the business? So what is she supposed to do? Just jump into a title picture with Rhea Ripley?
I want to see some 450 splashes, damn it.
I never said that.
Dating destroyers.
I know you didn't say that, but I'm saying, like, then what do you want to see? I mean, she's on SmackDown, technically. So what is there to really do over there? I mean, Bayley's the champ now, sure. I mean, maybe you could – I don't even think they're going to go back to whatever would happen with Damage Control. Then there's really not a lot of women on SmackDown. I mean, what's she going to do? Tiffany Stratton, maybe? I think
her size is the issue. Like, she's a babyface who's bigger than everybody else. And I just don't know how her character so translates.
Bigger than everybody.
I mean, like, outside of, I mean, I don't know if you size her up against Nia Jax, but I'm pretty sure
Nia and, like, Nia and Mommy.
Oh, I think Jade Cargill's way bigger than Rhea Ripley.
Is she?
I think so. Like, she's, like, I think Jade is, like, what, like, legit almost 6 feet tall? Like, she's tall glass of milk. And I think her being in, you know, as a baby face and going up against these like smaller wrestlers, which you can tell a story of, like, you know, Kairi Sane, whoever she would go up against, who are really good. That's the other thing, is like a lot of the really good wrestlers are smaller. And then it's like, how do you tell that story of Jade as the conquering, strong, big baby face, you know, going 50-50 with Kairi Sane or Dakota Kai?
Yeah, I like Jade Cargill. I want to see her do more. I just want it to be more purpose driven instead of it just being only squash matches for like a year. I think she deserves more than that. I think she deserves more credit than that, because I think she can tell a good story.
I don't think she's going to squash people for a year. I think maybe, you know, maybe for like a month and a half, maybe until, you know, we get the draft and then everything else that's going to happen with whatever reset we're going to be getting in this new era of WWE. Dragunov and Roxanne Perez debut on Raw. Congratulations. When Dragunov beats Shinsuke and Roxanne defeats what, Indy Hartwell?
Yep, and we have the draft coming up at the end of the month. SmackDown going head-to-head with the NFL draft. So maybe that's the reason why they're going with that timing. But Dragunov is eligible for the draft. They didn't say anything about Roxy. So I wonder how they're going to set that up with NXT presumably being a part of the draft as well, because the all-knowing, powerful Ava was at Raw for some reason. And yeah, I think Dragunov is a fantastic talent. Roxanne is as well, but I just don't know if her current character right now definitely kind of needs some work, because I think she's a true blue babyface and she's kind of play in the role as a heel. I just don't think it really clicks.
Give her some time. I think she'll be all right.
I think she can find a, she could find a heel character, but I just think she's like such a true baby face that I just don't think you mess with that. And people like her. Like, even on NXT Stand and Deliver, like, people were cheering for her winning the title.
So what are you saying this is Austin level and it's a terrible idea for her to be a baby or a heel?
Yep. Roxanne Perez Austin, Stone Cold Steve Austin on the exact same level.
Well, you said
Bring
it.
Bring it. You
said it.
Hey, I mean, I called Becky Lynch before she was the man. So, just saying.
Did you though?
Give me that Becky.
Did you though?
Check the tapes.
What tapes?
Well, I destroyed the tapes, so convenient, right? I know.
This guy.
I did go back because I didn't listen, but I just wanted to see on YouTube. They had the WrestleMania 34 recap where we were at the other guy's house to do a recap for some reason.
That's right. Yeah, we I remember that. Yeah, we went to like two WrestleMania watch parties over there. Let's talk about AEW and the joke of it. This was actual comedy. This was fun. Oh God, Brandon, you're the AEW guy. You sing its praises. Come on.
Whoa. We're not doing none of that tribalism BS around here. It all started with the Ariel Helwani interview on Wednesday with CM Punk, and you know, CM Punk talked about AEW a little bit, and I think Tony got got a little cranky about that, and they ran the footage on AEW, and Tony said, "Oh no, this isn't a rebuttal to CM Punk. This is a progression of the storyline, and it makes sense." And they, in their defense, devil's advocate, they did make this storyline driven. Of this is the reason why the Young Bucks lost to FTR at All In, because they had to be EVPs, and because this incident happened, they took their eye off the ball and lost. Like, okay, fine. Like, the actual storyline part of it, I thought they played it well enough, but they should have never aired this footage. It's just climbing off the back of CM Punk, and it's petty, it's dumb, it's bringing all these things back up again. A terrible idea. And you could see Tony Schiavone's face when they threw to it, and when they came back to it, he had like a boo-boo face on, because I think he knows this is a terrible idea and why the hell are we doing this.
Shout out Tony Schiavone. He was one of the MVPs of my WrestleMania weekend. Shout out. But yeah, so are we going to get another one of these rah-rah AEW is great promos now that this has happened? Or is that,
I mean, we kind of did with FTR. FTR comes out and they basically said, you know, I mean, they didn't refer to CM Punk really, but they were like, you know, Bucks, if you don't like it, take a ball and go home, basically. So they did a rah-rah AEW speech. We got one last week with Adam Copeland, which you didn't talk about, which I also thought was very
Why
transparent.
Why are former
about what it
WWE
was about.
Guys being the rah-rah AEW guys? Why aren't actual AEW guys being the rah-rah AEW guys?
Let's see. MJF is hurt. Darby Allin's hurt.
Where's Sammy Guevara?
Sammy Guevara is an absolute menace. He is the absolute wrong person to be doing a rah-rah speech for AEW.
Jack Perry's gone. Where's Ricky Stark? So that's right. He was at WrestleMania with Cody Rhodes. Let's see. Who else? Who else is there? That's actual AEW. Will Hobbs. Will Hobbs isn't doing any of these?
You could do Will Ospreay. He seems like the best pick, like the best person to do this.
Oh, if you want to do a rah-rah taken seriously, then you don't do Will Ospreay at all. You don't do that at all. No.
Well, we got Will Ospreay doing a WWE promo today.
This is pathetic. This is absolutely pathetic. Like, what are you guys doing? This is why Tony Khan feared for his life? Because a scrawny guy got choked a little bit? Come on. Come on.
CM Punk,
no,
his whole thing was, tell me when you're telling lies, and Ariel Helwani posted a video which got DMCA'd because apparently AEW is all over Twitter taking the video down.
I saw it. Yeah, the narration. I saw it. Bruh, legit. Could you imagine? Could you believe it? CM Punk said something and it was the actual truth? Wow.
Also, can we talk about the body language? Like, if you look at the footage and you just kind of think about what's being said, If you're watching the way that Jack Perry is approaching CM Punk versus CM Punk approaching Jack Perry, because you can't really see CM Punk's expressions. When you're looking at Jack Perry, it basically looks like he's blowing off CM Punk and what he's saying.
It's like a father and son get into an argument.
Yeah.
No,
and
it's not that.
Like, at one point you see Jack Perry's chin raise up and it looks kind of like he's saying, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? You know, like egging him on. And I'm just like, should you do that with CM Punk in front of you, though? Just saying.
I mean, I think the most telling part is I believe this was Chris Hero who was backstage and really broke the fight up. And
Chris Hero has been a meme instantly.
Once he gets escorted off, you just see the look on his face. He like wipes his hand on his head, and it's just he knows what the hell just happened.
That's his new match graphic for his pro wrestling mixtape this weekend. Go check that out.
Yeah, he's making his return this weekend. How cool.
Don Quixote, pull up. Yeah. Yeah, look, this just makes them look like a joke. People have already been thinking they're a joke with the houses they're doing and the story's not really making sense and all this other stuff. Like, this just makes them look like even more of a joke. There's no way to spin it. And if your lead commentator, who is a legend in this game, looks like this is a joke, then it's a joke. This is absolutely pathetic. This is why CM Punk said Tony Khan is not a boss. This is exactly why he said that. A boss would not have let this happen. Like, no, we're not. You want to do what? We're not doing that. No, think of something else. Next. Like, come on, bro. Think Triple H would let this happen? People want to criticize Vince. Think Vince McMahon would have let this happen? No, absolutely not. Come on.
They would have done it either like the week it happened, or they would have like buried it or leaked it to the press. Like, you don't put that on your,
bro, you just don't
your main television.
It. Just don't even acknowledge it. Just move on. Just find a way to move on. And people think CM Punk was really the problem. I mean, now we know. We know for a shadow of a doubt. It was not him.
No kidding.
Stop. God.
And let's be real. The fact that Jack Perry thought that smashing the windshield of a rental car was a good idea for a spot is absolutely insane to me. Like, you're going to sit there and you're going to deface a vehicle that you've rented from a company. They're never going to rent to pro wrestlers again. CM Punk even said that in his interview. Like, how? Listen, I get that you had daddy and daddy gave you everything you wanted, but you're gonna make it harder for a lot of people to do their jobs if you do something like that.
Yeah, this does not put them in the best light at all. It was
an absolute joke.
Yeah, it's.
And it's coming from the AEW mark.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Apparently, that's what you're labeling me as.
I don't watch New Japan anymore, so you got to do something, right?
No? Exactly. I got to be useful somehow. I watch the promotions nobody else does. And right now, no one's watching AEW.
I can tell by the house. I can tell massively by the house. Then I'm going to do what WWE did, WrestleMania 37, get like some cardboard cutouts of people just to make it look like people are there.
I mean, they have enough people on the roster. They can put them in the crowd.
Yeah, right. All the 100 people that don't get TV time. Yeah,
there's too many. There's too many people.
But then last week they finally did cuts, even though Tony said we're never cutting anybody.
Yeah, between the Ring of Honor and AEW rosters. Yeah, put them all back there.
I mean, if Aleister Black doesn't want to do jobs or even break up a CM Punk fight, put him in the crowd.
Or release him and let him go be useful somewhere else.
And Rusev. Sorry.
Yeah. Mira. Yeah. Jesus Christ. All right, moving on. Ospreay cut a promo. I mean, what did he say here? Bruv, bruv, bruv. Am I right? Is that it?
I wasn't counting the bruvs, but it was in response to a really good Bryan Danielson promo hyping up the Macho Dynasty. And then I don't know when this quote happened, but I guess Triple H said something about Ospreay is like not ready for the grind, was, you know, ran away from the grind in WWE.
Yeah, that was on the Pat McAfee show. Yeah. Yeah, that.
And so then Ospreay, you know, clap back, was like, oh, you don't know, you know, the only reason you're in the position you are is because you were grinding on the boss's daughter. Oh, no, never heard that one before. Really got his ass there. But outside of that, you know, it wasn't taking cheap jabs at Triple H, who's running, you know, the hottest WWE's been in 24 years.
My God, you want to be a real star? Come over here. The guy that started the company you're in left, and look at him now. He just beat the most dominant champion we've had in the past 30 years.
The three main takeaways of AEW today was the CM Punk footage, Will Ospreay taking clap back at Triple H, and then a Rhodes facing off against a Samoan named Joe in their main event.
For a heavyweight championship.
Well, it was an eliminator match, but you know.
Still,
And they were dancing around the whole thing. Like, you don't have to say Cody's name or whatever. Just say Dustin wants to be a champion like his brother. He's trying to achieve something he hasn't achieved in forever, like his brother. So we see what they're trying to do, but they aren't saying what they're trying to do, which just makes you roll your eyes. But we had more than one women's segment on the show, so good for them on that point, I guess.
Yeah.
We got women kissing each other now, and yeah, I don't know what's going on with this company.
Anything to get the ratings up, brother. Shane Taylor Promotions defeated Lionhook and Shibata, really.
Yep. For some reason, Chris Jericho is doing this whole Lionheart gimmick that I don't think anyone cares about. And he's with Hook. And
What did you say? What are they doing?
Chris Jericho's Lionheart now.
Of course. Everybody loves the Lionheart.
That's not what the crowd sounds like. Also,
there's nobody there. Of course you can't hear them.
Also, during the All-In footage, I don't know if you guys seen this video, but there's people recording in the audience, you know, the 2,000 of them, reacting to it. And a lot of them, there was a very vocal CM Punk chant that happened throughout. So, once again, not a great look from them. But, yeah, so it looks like again,
CM Punk chant during the Young Bucks and Okada thing? Yikes.
We're getting Chris Jericho and Hook, probably a Dynasty. And I think there's a lot of talent on AEW that probably should take a little break for, like, Moxley. Moxley's been gone for, like, almost a month now. And I think when he comes back, it's going to refresh him and make him feel like a big deal. And I think Chris Jericho is one of those people.
Side note, speaking of Moxley, when that Shield music hit, people really thought. People really
hand
thought.
Up accountability. Man, absolutely zero sense, but, you know, I'm an idiot.
Pop would have went crazy, though.
I mean, you're in the building. I know you might have been with like the family and friends or whatever, but how was like, did anyone say Moxley's name? Like, oh my God, are they actually going to do that in that section?
Yeah, like the two guys behind me were like, Mox? I'm like, no. Like, no, guys, no, that's not.
Come on, guys, yeah. Don't be idiots.
I mean, if it
but
did.
For a second.
Brother, if it did, I would have been like, oh, okay. All right.
You'll get a fair trade. WWE gives Sting the WCW footage. Moxley gets rented out for a day. I mean, that seems like a fair trade to me.
Yeah, why can't we just work together, man? I mean, if TNA and WWE could work together back in the day when Vince was running the thing and now, I mean, come on. Come on, guys. What are we doing, right? Anyway, Mercedes Moné was attacked. The internet had a fun time with this one. You can only imagine.
The noises.
Yeah.
So, yes, we got Mercedes Moné moaning in front of the camera. We have Mariah May kissing a Stardom woman. And then we have, like, I think Toni Storm also, like, licked Thunder Rosa or kissed Thunder Rosa on the cheek. And also kissed Mariah May as well. So, there's a lot of stuff going on in AEW right now.
Mercedes Moné.
It's reeking of, like, 2003 Eric Bischoff Raw.
What were they called?
If you know, you know.
What were they called? The
lesbians.
Yeah, no, they had a name, right?
I mean, there was HLA.
Yes.
Which, you know,
Katie, what are your
thoughts? How am I still a wrestler? I mean,
what are your thoughts on all this? In the year of our Lord 2024, I should say.
Honestly, it just all makes AEW look really bad. That's how I'm feeling. Like, I know that's a quick take, but that's how I sum it up at this point. I'm not quite interested in watching it anymore.
Damn. And you love wrestling and you think it's great.
I love wrestling. That's the thing.
And
I
you think
do.
It's great.
I think it's great. But AEW just is not doing it for me.
Yeah, when are they going to give people a chance, man? Where's my guy Brian Keith at? Saw Brian Keith this weekend. Shout out to brother. Love him. And then Joe defeated Dustin Rhodes. Yay.
Yep.
So the Dynamite after WrestleMania, is that when Joe's going to lose the title to Dustin? Are we gonna is Dustin going to finish his story?
I don't think so. I think Swerve might finish his story. Dynasty.
Everybody's got a story to finish. Katie, you had a story to finish?
Everybody has a story.
Jesus Christ.
I just started my story.
I finally debuted at Oasis. I finished mine. Ah! Oh, Jesus. All right. This has been a show. We've talked about a lot of things. We've got the takeaways that AEW is WWE obsessed. Yeah. Which was kind of the downfall of WCW. Am I right?
There was a moment in time where AEW could have maybe not taken over WWE, but definitely could have capitalized on the lack of momentum of WWE. That door is officially closed.
Bro, if they had just stuck to what they did in the beginning, they would have been fine. Fine. I mean, sure, they had like the Cody and the throne and then the brass ring gimmick, which they need to stop doing that. That shit is ridiculous and stupid. But like, if they had just kind of stuck to what they were doing, they would have been cool, bro.
That All Out 2021, the show I was at, we had Cole, Punk, Danielson. It felt like they were on to something, and it just
were they.
It just didn't, for whatever reason, just didn't happen. I mean,
let's look at it now. I mean, you know, Adam Cole doesn't feel special anymore. He's off TV. MJF, you know, the run, it happened. Edge.
Oh, so now you're finally on my side. That Adam Cole MJF sucked. Thank you very much. Welcome to the truth.
I'd say it sucked. I mean,
it sucked. It was terrible.
You know, just you know. Edge, you know, love him. I love Adam Copeland. He's a guy that's there. Daniel Bryan, what the?
Bryan Danielson's just there having fantasy camp matches.
Yeah, like what are we doing, bro? Like, come on, man.
I mean, Ospreay is the only person out of the big three signings with Okada and Mercedes that has done anything remotely of interest right now.
Yes, by going after the guy that tried to give him a job and make him a star.
Well, I mean, outside of that, he's been having good matches, and I think they're building to him possibly being something at Wembley. While Okada's wearing like the least valuable championship they have for some reason, and Mercedes is going after a secondary women's title on AEW, which has not the best women's division, and now she got attacked in the dark. So who knows what the hell that means?
Yeah, this. Oh boy! Oh boy! Oh boy! Oh boy! Oh boy! This.
We'll come back next week to see if AEW gets their shit together. Probably not, though, but it'll be fun.
Honest to God, we may start talking about another company. Like, I mean, for real, guys. Next week, we may just talk about TNA. They're doing some cool stuff. Mustafa Ali's killing it. You know, Moose's faction is doing some great stuff. I'm serious. Next week, we may just talk about TNA. Or NXT or something. Shout out Stand and Deliver, bro. They did a great job. Trick is going to be a star, man. I'm telling you. That Trick is massive. It is a massive chant. People are fully behind it. They love it. Shout out Baby Huey. You know, he did an interview with Trick Williams, and you can go check all that stuff out. Shout out Baby Huey, man. He was really being the interview up a storm at WrestleMania weekend. So go check out his content on In The Click. But yeah, I think it's going to wrap it up for us. Katie, do you have any thoughts for the people? You haven't been here in a while.
You know, it's nice to be back, even if it's just a temporary thing. I do miss everyone. I hope to be back again soon.
Brandon.
I'll probably be here next week. So, if I'm not here next week, that means something happened. But yeah, it was a fun week.
Better be here next week. Nobody wants to hear me do this by myself.
WWE is on another level. Unfortunately, AEW not so much, but it was good time.
They're on another level. It's just not in the right direction.
Yeah, they're.
I mean, is NXT level up might be more entertaining than AEW Dynamite. I'll say it.
Yeah.
Speed. WWE Speed. Maybe that's what we cover. We cover Speed next week.
I think we do. You know, tonight? I think that's what we're going to do.
By the way, where the hell is that documentary they promised us?
Did it not drop?
No, I keep checking. It hasn't dropped.
Well, so we'll talk about that next week. Katie, did you see the Bray Wyatt doc?
I didn't see the Bray Wyatt doc, but I saw the Roman Reigns doc, and I saw CM Punk's MMA Hour. So,
what are you teasing before we get out of here?
So I cried during the Roman Reigns doc. I mean, I cry during all the docs, but just listening to his story, listening to him talk about him and his brother, and just everything, it just gives you a whole another perspective of Roman Reigns and who he is. And he really is the one. He's the tribal chief, and I 100% acknowledge him and the reign that he's had and how dominant of a force he's been for 1,316 days.
MMA Hour with CM Punk.
Oh, I loved it. My husband and I watched it together, and both of us were just sitting there cackling at several points. But then again, we both are very vocal about our stance on everything that happened between CM Punk and Jack Perry and the Elite and all that. Like, just it's all shenanigans. That's we're on CM Punk's side. Like, I said it earlier and I'll say it again. AEW has not been doing it for me for a long time. As much as I want to like it, it doesn't scream professionalism, which makes me really sad because there are so many people that deserve to be on TV and deserve to have that opportunity, and I'm glad that they're getting that opportunity through AEW, but it just feels like they don't take the talent that they have and utilize them to better potential. I want more for the people that are on AEW, and I want better for them, and it doesn't feel like they're getting that with AEW.
I was going to make this comparison on the podcast, but I guess Twitter's already done it for me because currently trending is WCW 2000. So there you go.
We're going to see AEW Presents Greed and Sin coming up soon in the next couple months. Yeah, man. I mean, look, I've said it here. I know people think I hate AEW and all that other stuff. Look, man, I have friends there. You know, I there are people there that I like, you know, and that I want to see succeed. It's just, something desperately needs to change, man. Have a real, like, just kind of change it up, bro. Make each show feel different. You know, you're throwing out all this money for contracts. Well, you know, maybe get rid of some people, let them loose, and then maybe each show should have a different set. How about that, huh? Each show should have storylines that make sense, you know, and if people are on Ring of Honor, their titles and them do not need to be on AEW programming and vice versa.
Agreed.
Like, let's stop doing that. Shout out to Matt Taven and Mike Bennett. Ran into them at a Wawa after the Ring of Honor show Friday night. That was cool. But yeah, other than that, we're going to sign off. Thank you guys so much. As always, this has been the BC. Y'all know where to find us. Thank you.
Representing the Bullet Club, this has been a Bullet Cast. Thank you for listening.